Welcome. We're here today for our Around the Breakfast Table discussion, and today we were going to talk a little bit about a parable in Matthew chapter 22. Joining us is Janice and Jean, so I'd like to introduce them and let Janice and Jean say hello.
Hello. This is Jean.
Hi, Jean.
Hello, this is Janice.
Hi, Janice. Well, I can start by reading the parable, if you'd like, chapter 22 in Matthew. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his army, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.
Linda, it's the parable of the wedding, the invitation of the wedding, or the wedding feast.
Yeah.
So if it's a comparable, which God typically in his scriptures uses comparables of a natural example for a spiritual, what does that mean? What's the spiritual picture that he's talking about here? Or is it just that somebody has a feast and invites different people, and some people don't show up, and others do. And I'm sure it has a spiritual significance for us.
The marriage is, in the spirit realm, would be the marriage of the seed and substance coming together, getting married within our mind, the word and the spirit.
So that's what I was going to ask. But definitely. I was going to ask that. But what do you mean by seed and substance? I'm not sure what that means. Are you going to go feasting with seed and substance, or eating with seed and substance? Could you explain that to me a little bit?
You mean just taking the seed is the word of God. It says the seed is the word of God. Substance is our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we mix our faith with the words of God, and that causes us to be married to getting, we're growing this seed and substance, we're growing the Christ child in our mind, we're growing this Christ in our mind, and we're feeding it and we're growing it. It's not just for us, though. It's others that can come in to partake of the word and the spirit also.
Oh, so that's the feast. So really that's the feast, right, that we're supposed to be invited to, is to have feast on God's word and his spirit.
Yes.
And he calls us. Is that right? He says,
yes.
We have an invitation. An invitation,
yep,
to a wedding feast.
Okay. But when some of them didn't come, they may lie to that. They said, so is that because they didn't want to? They didn't want to come to this feast or to God's word and spirit in their mind. They just rather go somewhere else or do other things.
I was thinking that God calls for this marriage feast for his son. He's calling us to a wedding. He's going to espouse us to Christ. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, it says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So God would like to present the Christ to us.
So that's really even more interesting, because now the marriage feast, we're coming to somebody else's marriage, but we're coming to our marriage to Christ, and we're going to be feasting on, as Jean said, God's word and spirit, which is Christ's words and spirit that he had, that God gave him. That is very cool. That is beautiful. A beautiful picture. Wow. Thanks for sharing that with me and all of us that are around the breakfast table. So then he invites us. He invites a lot of people to come. And they didn't come. Do you think that they just didn't want to be married to Christ, or do you think there were other things that caused them not to come?
Well, it said they would not come. Some went on and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. So people went on to their own way. They weren't looking to come to the marriage to the Son of God.
Do you think they knew it? It was a marriage feast for them? I'm just wondering about what kind of marriage feast they actually said, "Well, I have other things to do. I don't have the time to spend going to a wedding feast," or it was more important to do my work, go to the field, more important to do this or do that than to take the time to go to the marriage feast.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes.
So that's very interesting. So we're talking about this marriage feast that we have discussed, that this marriage is with Christ. We're coming to a feast to be married, and we're going to feast on God's word and spirit, or Christ's word and spirit. Yeah, that's a beautiful picture.
Yes.
But some people didn't accept because they were too busy with other things.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to their fields. What else was it where they were going, Linda?
One to his farm, another to his merchandise.
Those are things that we have to be careful of, it sounds like. Over.
It sounds like it blends in with the other parable about the four types of soil.
Yeah.
You know, falling on different types of ground, and one of them is where the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, takes us away from following this word. So it's similar to not wanting to partake of this feast because we have other things we think are more important.
Jim, can you explain that a little bit more about it? It's related to the seeds that, or the words that really don't get planted in our mind. Can you explain some of the things that will get us not to do that?
Well, in that particular story, talks about the seed, so we're planting seeds, and some falls on stony ground on the wayside, you know, the path. It talks about one of the soils where, because there's not much earth, it doesn't grow, and that's similar to someone that has heard God's word, and a little persecution might arise, and they fall away. They haven't followed through. The other is on the stony ground. It sounds very similar to making excuses for not partaking of this wedding feast, this feast that God has prepared. It was prepared originally in Christ himself and now in others that have Christ in them. So people put other things before the importance of this. And, you know, Jesus was talking to people at one time and saying things like, not to be concerned about what you wear, not to be concerned about what you eat. God knows that we have need of all these things. In other words, putting first priority in obtaining this kingdom of God within oneself. That is to be the first priority when the opportunity is given someone to have this feast that has been prepared before them, it's most important to put that first. The other things will just naturally be taken care of, but put on this immortality, and that is by partaking of the seed and substance of Christ.
Yeah.
But, you know, in this parable, there's other items in here that are really interesting. And so he didn't get all of the people that he first invited, and he said that they were not worthy. I guess that's true. If we have other things that we want to do or things that are more important than coming to God's marriage feast for his son and becoming wed, being married to Christ, that's even more interesting. And then feasting on his word and spirit, how delightful that it would be, you know? So other people were invited, right? And other people were invited, and they had everybody ready, but one person wasn't. It says that he had a garment on that wasn't a wedding garment. And Linda, what happened to that individual? Could you read that again for us?
And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth.
Doesn't sound too pleasant in the natural. Maybe somebody can give us some understanding about that.
I was thinking in the natural, instead of a tuxedo, he probably had something else on. You know, a lot of them dress up for the wedding in the natural, but he didn't have it on. But I think that's a picture that he didn't have no spiritual clothing on in his mind.
Well, what does that mean? We're talking about the parable and that there was somebody at the wedding feast that wasn't in a wedding garment, and pretty severe things happened to him. And we were talking about what is this garment that you're supposed to have on for your wedding feast? The natural, you probably have, like you said, Dean, that tuxedo and different things on, and he probably was not dressed appropriately, but a comparable to what goes on in our mind. So what does that mean? If I don't have my wedding feast on in my mind or my apparel or my dress on in my mind, what does that mean? Does anybody know right on the breakfast table?
He didn't have God's seed and substance or his word and spirit in his mind. He didn't have the clothing of God on in his mind, spiritual clothing, God's word and spirit.
In 2 Corinthians 5:2, it says, For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So we're to be clothed from something from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. So we want to have on our spiritual clothing so that we are not found naked. And he did not have on the proper clothing to come to a wedding for the king's son.
Yeah. I guess there's a preparation that we're supposed to do to be married with Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be a preparation that we do to be married with Christ. Apparently, he hadn't prepared himself. Married to Christ. So he has some kind of a different apparel on than everybody else, waiting and being ready to be married.
Yeah.
Linda, did you have some response?
I was just going to mention about the table, about the dinner that the king had prepared. And God has prepared for us dinner. He's prepared for us his word. We're to eat of his word and drink of his spirit. He wants to bring Christ to us so we can eat of that message and drink of that message. And on 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, Ye cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. So when God prepares this meal for us, we want to be eating from the cup of the Lord, the table of the Lord.
Well, thank everybody that's around the breakfast table. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you will join us next Wednesday.